coming to you live from his padded cell high atop Bethel Church, the most heralded, the most despised talk show in all of human history. This is the talk show Hell Hates. This is Pastor Mike Online.
And here we are coming to you live from a top secret broadcasting bunker here at Area 52, high atop Bethel Church. This is the talk show Hell Hates. You don't have to tell me about it. Good to be with you today, the seventh day of the 2020 new year, January. Let's see, this would be the seventh day, first month of a new decade, 2020. Good to be with you today. I was up late last night, couldn't sleep, and, you know, the last thing that you want to do before you trot off to La La Land and go to sleep is to be talking to God. There's nothing wrong with that. I like to talk to God while I go to sleep. I can tell you, talking to God and then dozing off is better than talking to your wife and dozing off. You got what I'm saying? Okay? I love to talk to God at night and pray myself to sleep. There's nothing wrong with that. And I used to wake up like you, guilty. God, I'm sorry, I fell asleep. I would rather, God knows we got to sleep. He gave it to us. And I would rather go to sleep talking to God, telling God what's on my heart, or having God deal with me, telling God what's on his heart. Than any other way to go to sleep in the world. There's no doubt about it. I had a surgery one time, and my wife told me this. I don't remember it well because, you know, when they wheel you into the operating room, they give you this medicine. It's called Versed. And it should be he said, she said. Okay? Because you say stuff. And they were in the room and giving me that medicine, and they were going to cart me off to surgery. And my wife said, she told me this, she said, you started quoting Genesis 1:1 to mess with them. And I said, you know, I was going, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. And my wife told them, you'll have to tell them shut up. So anyway, again, I would rather be talking to God and speaking God's word, going to sleep than anything. And last night, John chapter 1 was on my mind. I read John chapter 1 and just beautiful things came out of it. Beautiful things, wondrous things. When I say I believe the King James Bible is right, and I believe that God has an order to everything, I mean that. And I'm not done seeing all of that order in His Word. And I've got a lot of articles to give you today, but I'm going to start out giving, let's give God the glory and the praise first. And let's just talk about John 1, shall we? John chapter 1, and we'll just kind of read the whole chapter. There, it's got about three sections to it. And the words that Jesus speaks in John, one of the last things that God had me do last night was count the words that Jesus said in John chapter 1. Never done it before. And, you know, sometimes you have to be led. Sometimes God has to say it to you because you know, if he would have told me to do this, you know, 10, 15 years ago, I wouldn't have got it. But I get it. I get it. You know, I get it. John chapter 1 and the words that Jesus speaks in John chapter 1, there's a number associated with that. And what goes on in John chapter 1 is related to that number. That's how we know this Bible is in order. It's how we know God wrote it. So, you know, you're dealing with the fourth gospel. And when I, you know, when I this hold this number up a lot, because the number four represents the spiritual world, like the fourth dimension. And, you know, think thesis and antithesis. You have the gospel, you have the anti-gospel. You have Jesus in the gospel, and you have the other Jesus, the antichrist, who is in another gospel. So you have four against four. That's what you have in Daniel chapter 2. You have the four, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers, and the Chaldeans, I believe, that are lying through their teeth to Nebuchadnezzar, and he figures it out. He says, I'm going to kill every one of you. And then Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say, we'd rather not get our head cut off today. Now, maybe a year from now, we wouldn't mind. But today, not today. So you have the four against the four. And that's how it always is, people. The four against the four. The four that we face are the principalities, the powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, and the spiritual wickedness in high places. And I'm telling you, just as there is an ocean, a sea that's full of salt, there are devils around us every single day. And they harass us, and they try to intimidate us, and try to put fear into us, and they mess with our family, and they mess with our relationships, and they mess in our churches, and they mess everything up. And they come after us. And if it wasn't for what Christ did in, recorded for us in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, we would have no power against them whatsoever. You can't shoot devils, either in the back or in the face. You can't use guns against them. You cannot yet. Atomic weapons don't work, in spite of what all the UFO people are afraid of. You can't do that. It must be Christ who is presented to us in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you were to take like the fourth book of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, you have a direct connection between Numbers and the fourth book of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Because in the book of Numbers, number one, you have Israel not believing God when they send the 12 spies in for how many days? 40 days, which caused them to wander and die in the wilderness for 40 years. You see it? How it's related to the gospel? And you know, Hebrews tells us this, that those 12 spies go in, they come back and give their evil report, and Israel, all of a sudden, they don't believe God anymore. And my friends, get ready to be in shock and awe at the people that are going to fall. Get ready. You will be in disbelief at the people that you know that are going to fall away. This world is not getting better. It's not getting more holy, more Christian-like. It's not. It's getting worse. They just had yesterday or last week, but over in Illinois, just across the river, you know, they legalized marijuana sales, recreational. So let's all smoke dope in Illinois, and that's crazy. That we have a drug problem, and we just legalized the problem. We just said no more drug problem. Now it's legal. And they had record marijuana sales on the first day because they taxed it. That was it right there. Government scratching its head, liberals scratching their head going, we can get our finger on that money. Instead of the drug dealers keeping it all, we'll tax it. We'll turn legitimate businesses into drug dealers and we'll tax. Anyway. We're fighting spiritual battles every single day, and it's the cross of Jesus Christ, and it's Christ showing up. So Israel doesn't believe in God anymore. They don't believe what God said. 10 of them come back and say, we can't go in there. There are giants all over the place. That's the law telling you, you cannot go to heaven. You have the two, Joshua and Caleb, who say, oh, yes, we can. And Numbers chapter 14 clearly tells you that God, there was a different spirit in them than there was in the other 10. So that tells you right there the difference. And then when they complained, when Israel complained and murmured against Moses, and oh, you brought us out in the wilderness to kill us all, and they complained, and so God sent serpents, right? And what we're doing is we're contrasting the four with the four. Numbers, the fourth book of the Old Testament, you have Israel complaining, and God sent fiery serpents among them. These were not just ordinary serpents. I believe they were of an angelic order, seraphim, seraph, fiery serpents. They were devils. And these people, and these are the same devils now that you and I deal with. And so what was the remedy? There isn't a medicine anywhere in the world that is an antidote to sin. No medicine anywhere can stop sin. No amount of power of positive thinking can stop sin. It doesn't work. So it's faith, it's trust in what God said. So God says, Moses, make this brazen serpent, put it on that brazen pole, lift it up before all the people so they can all see it. And when they look, if anybody's been bitten by these serpents, if they will look, they will live. We sing that's him all the time. Look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live. And so in John, the fourth gospel, the fourth book of the New Testament, you have Jesus saying, verse 14 of chapter 3, which is, get ready for this. That's pretty loud. Let me turn that down a little bit. There we go. John chapter 3 is the 1,000th chapter of the Bible. Now you can say, hoo-ha for that. But see, the number 1,000 number is based on 10. 10 is for dominion. And 1,000 is 10 times 10 times 10. And the 1,000-year reign is what you think of when you see the number 1,000 or 2,000 or 3,000 or 4,000 or 7,000 or 5,000 or any thousand. It's a picture of the 1,000-year reign or anything based upon the number 10. Like when Moses, when God takes the Spirit and puts it on the 70 and they begin to prophesy, that's a picture of the millennial reign. It's on the seventh day. Times 10. You have the Ten Commandments in the 70th chapter of the Bible, Exodus chapter 20. So John 3 is the 1,000th chapter of the Bible. And that's the chapter relating to the kingdom of God, which is the 1,000-year reign, that actually tells you how you can be part of the 1,000-year reign, the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again. It's John chapter 3, verse 3, and the phrase born again three times in the Bible. That's not an accident. It didn't just fall out that way. It's on purpose. And that 1,000th chapter of the Bible is where you find out how to be part of the kingdom of God. But it's also the most famous verse in the whole Bible is John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave. I almost had to look at it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And so you go back to verse 14, and he's comparing in the fourth gospel, the fourth book of the New Testament, with the fourth book of the Old Testament. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world. I love it. So you're dealing with significance just with John being where it is. Fourth gospel. And, you know, anytime you have four things in the Bible, three of them are similar. The fourth is different. I don't have time to go into all of that, but I'll give you four names. Leah, Rachel, Bilhah, and Zilpah. Four women. They gave birth to the 12 tribes. You understand that? One of them's different than the other three. You just figure out who it is. Who's in the fire? How many's in the fiery furnace? One of them's different than the other three. And every scholar that's ever studied the four Gospels will tell you Matthew, Mark, Luke are synoptic Gospels. They look the same. John is different. Even in your DNA, the adenine and the guanine and the cytosine are similar in that they also appear in RNA. RNA is single strand. Where's my DNA? Here it is. RNA is single strand, ribonucleic acid. DNA is double stranded. The D does not stand for double ribonucleic acid. It's for deoxyribonucleic acid. And so in RNA, you will have adenine, guanine, and cytosine, but you will not have thymine. You'll have something called uracil. And I don't understand exactly why, but for some reason, when RNA is converted into DNA, double-stranded, uracil is replaced with thymine. It's the only one that's different. And I think it has to do with the significance of John and why it's different. So, I mean, and how does John 1:1 start? Same way the Bible starts, in the beginning. In the beginning, the very moment, the very split second of the beginning of time. And I want you to look at this. Let's read it. In the beginning was the Word. Jesus was already there. He was not created at the beginning. It does not say, in the beginning became the Word. It doesn't say that. It says was. Jesus said before Abraham was, I am. Okay, I'll do this now. Since I said that, I got to show you this. One of our astute watchers sent this in today. Let me put this up on the screen for you. Get ready. White House proposes regulatory principles to govern AI use. Look at that. I am AI. I am. Look at that. Look at that. The name I am is God's name. And AI, I absolutely believe AI is this world's replacement for God. It is AI. And the Antichrist somehow, some way, I don't understand it all yet. Ain't got it all figured out. We'll know it as we see it. But I guarantee you Antichrist is linked with artificial intelligence, because artificial intelligence is the God that man is making in man's image. And AI is already at work doing things for us. Right now, AI is our servant. But that's going to change. So when this new God shows up, I'll be glad that I'm attached to the God who always was. Amen? I got to get the heat builds up in this. This room is so funny because no matter what temperature it is 5 minutes ago, it changes because this is the roof of the church right up above my head. And so it could be like minus 85 degrees Kelvin in here and freezing. And then all of a sudden it is way too hot. So now I got to turn the heat off. There. Let's turn some fan on, get some air circulating in here. There we go. And I might have to turn the AC on before we get. Anyway, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was already there. Notice the capital W. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. I want to spend some time on this, but I've got other stories to talk about, but let me just get this out of me. I need this. I mean, I've been battered, beaten, maligned, abused. Just like I've fought battles just like the rest of you people. And I need some word, man. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, Christ, with his Father. And the Word was God. It's not a contradiction, and you don't have to put a letter A in there for it to make sense. You just believe it. The Word, listen, I'm telling you, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. You have the Word 1, 2, 3 times in verse 1. And you have God 1, 2, 3 times in verses 1 and 2. So in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. That's the Godhead, the Father, the Son. John says it this way in 1 John 5:7. This verse that you don't find in any other Bible but a King James. For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. By the way, the phrase record. Record. Three times in John chapter 1. Three. Because you have three that bear. Anyway, the same was in the beginning with God. The Word was. He was already there. God using the Word, Jesus Christ, creating the things that are. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. Which means you don't believe the evolutionists. You don't believe the aliens. Or the UFO people. You don't believe Ancient Aliens on the History Channel or any of those other programs or any of those other UFO speakers or books or anybody who tells you that the aliens planted us here. And that you don't believe that. That's part of the lie. The strong delusion. That's part of it. God is reassuring us that if it was made, it was made by the Word of God. All things. I like that. Oh, I love that phrase. Take your Pure Bible Search software. And let's see here. Yeah, I'll do it this way. Just type in all things. 220 times. 22 is the number for Revelation. Okay? And just think of verses in the Bible that you already know that have that phrase in it. John chapter 1, verse 3, all things were made by him. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. What are some other famous verses in the Bible where it uses all things? Hang on here. Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Romans 11:36, for of him and through him and to him are all things. Let's see here. First Corinthians 10:23, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let all, 1 Corinthians 14:40, let all things be done decently and in order. How many things? All things. Okay, so now think about that. If I'm telling you that this Bible is in order, you believe it, because God himself said, let all things be done decently and in order. And so why would you not believe that the Bible, let's see, how make sure I'm saying this right. Why would you believe any other thing about the Bible? It's all in order. It's all exactly the way God put it. All the stars of the heavens, they have their ordinances. They have their paths. They have their luminosity. They have their brilliance. They have their color. They have their twinkling. All of that is all ordained by God. He's the one that gave the order to the heavens, which declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utter a speech, night unto night. And so it's all in order, people. And how can the thing that created everything to be in order be out of order? How can, if you have the directions to put something together and the directions are all wrong, how can you put the thing together? Right? The Bible put everything together, and if the Bible's wrong, then we have chaos, which is what you have in a lot of people's lives, a lot of countries, a lot of areas, a lot of churches, a lot of families. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. It all, every element, every atom, every subatomic particle, everything. And verse 4, and in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness. I mean, what did God create on day 4? He created the luminary objects in the sky, the sun, the moon, and the stars. And he gave them for signs, for seasons, for days, and for years. What was the first thing in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth? What then did God create? And God said, let there be light. 4 words. And there was light. 4 more words. Isn't that beautiful? That's order. And that's also showing you the connection between light, the Gospels, the spiritual realm, and I believe the fourth dimension relationship that light has the relationship that light has with the fourth dimension. Now, I don't understand. That's, you know, like way over our head, because I can't even point to you the fourth direction. I can't point in that direction. I don't know it. I don't understand it. But I believe it's related to light. And time is as well. Time and light are very strongly connected, and they're both related to the fourth dimension. In fact, they say, the mathematicians say, the fourth dimension is time. But in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Kind of like, you know, maybe some of you today listening to me, because I'm rambling. I'm just enjoying my time in the Word. I've sat here all morning waiting for noon to show up, praying, reading, praying, reading, praying, reading. I just need to visit with people who will hear the Word of God today. the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. So that's why when God said, let there be light, and there was light, God divided the light from darkness. So the yin-yang symbol's a lie, because it says there's a little light in all darkness, and a little darkness in all light. That's a lie. That's Eastern mysticism, Antichrist doctrine. It's the doctrine of the Antichrist. Because he is opposites. He is where they would be. He is the shadow of death in Job chapter 10, where the light, it's the place without any order, where the light is as darkness. Okay? The light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. Now, so that's the first one of the, that's the first section of John chapter 1. And I've talked about this before, but in those first five verses, then you have a, after, you know, when you get to verse 6, you can clearly see that the subject matter changes. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. So those first five verses comprise what we would call a paragraph. And it speaks of the Word and light. And there are exactly 66 words in those five verses. Woo-ha! You can count them. You can recount them. There are 66 words in those first five verses. And that paragraph is all about the Bible. Deny it not. That's what it's about. And if you accuse me of Bible worship, I will say, guilty as charged. Because this Word is alive. I did not create it. Man did not create it. It is. It creates me. It makes me who I am, what I am. And this Bible is right in everything that it says. And I love it. I'll defend it. I'll die for it. So now verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. And this is a different John, of course, than the John who wrote the Gospel of John. This is Jean-Baptiste, John the Baptist. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. Notice the capital L there, the translators wanting you to know that that light is Christ and its deity, that all men through him might believe. All men through him. Who? John the Baptist? No. Through Christ. Through the light. Which is also the Word. Verse 8. He was not that light. Meaning John the Baptist was not that light. And think about it. I mean, here John the Baptist. He's preaching. He's got all this following. He has this golden opportunity to take advantage of all these people and claim that he's the Messiah. He wouldn't be the first Jew that did it, and he wouldn't have been the last one to do it either. But he comes out and he says, I'm not, I know you all are following me, and I know I love you hearing me preach, but I'm not him. He had that opportunity to take advantage of that, and he refused to do it. John, we know this, and this is one of my anti-abortion verses. We know that John leaped inside of the womb when he heard Mary's salutation. He leaped inside of there. Woohoo! Yeah, Jesus is coming. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So go back to verse 7. You have the first occurrence of the word light with a capital L in this chapter. Verse 8. Verse 9. Let's see. Am I missing one? Yeah. Bear witness of the light. Verse 7. They used not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. There's two more. And then verse 9 is the fourth one. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. You have the word light capitalized in this chapter four times. Four times. It's in order. It's perfect. The translators, I guess, just being led by God. Maybe we should make this a capital. Yeah, let's make that a capital L. And they did it. Okay? And I mentioned this Sunday, somebody that follows our ministry, they are like several of you out there, and I don't mean to be anybody's enemy, and I don't want us to divide marriages. But this man, he says, you know, pray for me. He said, I strongly believe the King James. My wife, she, you know, she believes, she reads these new translations. And she found, I don't know what she was doing, but she read the King James translator's letter to the reader, which is, you'll find in some of the King James Bibles. You can find it online. And the translators themselves said, out of humility, we did our best, but we cannot guarantee that we got every word right. So he's asking me, he said, so, you know, Pastor, he said, you know, I believe the King James, but my wife is using this now as a confirmation for why she won't believe that every word in the King James is right. And I said, yeah, I understand that. I said, I've read that same thing. I said, but when it comes to what I believe, I don't get my doctrine from what scholars tell me to believe. I get my doctrine from the Bible. And I said, there is a clear difference between what the translators themselves said about their work and their work. A clear difference. One is the words of men. The other is the word of God. And the letter to the translators, you won't find it in most modern King James Bibles. I'm okay with that because it's not the scriptures. Only the scriptures are the scriptures. And so, even though you have the translators themselves out of humility saying, we're not sure we got everything right, God says they did. Every word of God is pure. So verse 9, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Of course, you've seen where there was an article, I could show it to you. I don't have it in front of me right now, but literally they found out that the moment, the exact second that conceptions take place of human beings, light comes on inside that egg. Absolutely amazing. How did John know that? Well, he didn't. Either John the Apostle or John the Baptist, neither one of them knew that. John the Baptist wasn't even married. Okay? Didn't know that. John the Baptist never conceived a child that we know of. So there's no way. God knew it, however. And he's the one that said it. He is that light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Yes. There is a light in all mankind. There is. Deny it not. It's in the form of his DNA, which is made of phosphorus, which is light. And the words themselves are light. The book of our DNA is light. And that light, and everybody has that. Every human, every man, woman, child, the human species, we all have that in us. Verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Boy, ain't that the truth. He came into his own, and his own received him not. He came as a priest, but from what tribe? Not from Levi, the third born son, but from Judah, the fourth born son. See it? He came into his own, the Jews, the Israelites, the people of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become. This is what I like about this. This is what I need on certain days. To know that because I believe in the Son of God, that be through that belief and through Jesus Christ. Let's see here. I got to turn the AC on. I knew I would. All right. Anyway, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name. to those who believe, those who trust, just like Joshua and Caleb in the wilderness. God said, you're not going to perish. Everybody else is going to perish, but you're not going to perish. Why? Because you believe. And think of the words that Jesus said in John 3. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so to those of us who believe, Jesus Christ gives us power to become sons of God. Now that is what's connected to how many words are in John chapter 1 that Jesus speaks. Now you can do this. You can get a Bible out, red letter edition, King James Bible, and count them yourself before I get to that number. You can get the Pure Bible Search software to do it for you. You can highlight. Let me show you how to do it very quickly. Put that on the screen. And you can, let's see here, go to John chapter 1. And it has the words of Christ in red. You can go like that, highlight it. And on the bottom, it'll tell you, or you can hit Control D on your screen, and you'll get this little window. And it tells you that you got three words selected. And so you get a calculator out and you add them up. So some of you can already do that before I get to that number. But it has to do with becoming sons of God. It has to do with that. And I'll explain it as we move on. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name, which were born. There's the connection. Which were born. Not of blood. Meaning like human blood. Like a bloodline. Like a DNA line. Which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So look at the pattern in verse 13. Which were born not of blood, nor the will of man. Not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man. Three things. Four things different, but of God. See, we're not born from things from this world, this three-dimensional world we live in. We're born just like Jesus. He did not come from the third-born son, Levi. He came from the fourth son, Judah. And that's us being born again. Not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And verse 14, and this is DNA exactly to a T. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word, DNA, the Bible, Christ, the Word was made flesh. A body hast thou prepared me, he said, before he come into the world. And we know that the body of Jesus was the one that he prepared in Mary before he came to the world the first time. The body of his second coming is us. In fact, it's in John where he finds a man by the name of Simon, but he doesn't call him Simon. He renames him, gives him a new name. What does he call him? We'll get to that in a little bit, but it has to do with the body of Christ's second coming. So the Word was made flesh, verse 14, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I love it. And you're going to see the connection to that in verse 17, so I'll hang on to my comments here. Verse 15, John bare witness of him. And again, John could have, like a lot of preachers, could have taken advantage of the crowds. Could have taken advantage of them. And said, of course I'm the Messiah. But he didn't. He came to do what he came to do. We are all here to do what we're all here to do. God has appointed us to do what he wants us to do. And any good thing that you do, that was God doing that through you. So John bare witness of him, verse 15, and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. See John's admittance? Now you think about what he just said. Because who was born first? If you go to Luke, you find that it was Elizabeth who conceived first. And 6 months into her pregnancy, six is the number for preparation. That's one of the meanings of it. John is the one who prepares the way of the Lord, so he comes 6 months before Jesus does. But when he is 6 months in the womb, and then Mary comes and says, hey, guess what? I'm going to have a baby, Jesus. You know, John the Baptist leaped in her womb. But notice what John said. Verse 15 again. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. He came after me, but he was before me. John himself bearing witness. And it may sound like it's trivial, but believe it or not, you have a lot of people who call themselves Christians who do not believe that Jesus always was before the beginning. Dake, Finnis Dake, Dake's Annotated Bible, Dake's Notes. He was the sort of the grandfather of the Word Faith movement. He didn't believe that Jesus Christ was eternal. He believed that he became Christ. I don't remember if it was at his birth or at his baptism. But he didn't believe that he was always Christ. He's a liar. John the Baptist said, he was way before me. And isn't that what is said in Malachi? Out of the King James Bible, not the modern translations, but out of the King James Bible... Probably won't be... Yeah, there we go. Malachi chapter 5. No, not Malachi. Micah. Micah chapter 5. I guess I'll look it up here. Be quicker. Come on. There it is. Micah chapter 5. I probably have it memorized. I just don't want to get it wrong. Verse 2, but thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. And like the NIV says, whose origins are from ancient times. Well, that's a different statement. And John is verifying the fact. Yeah, I was born before Jesus technically, but he was before me. Jesus, again, saying, before Abraham was, I am. Verse 16, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace, for the law. But look at verse 17, and this is beautiful. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, I love the law. I love legal proceedings. I love how written documents force people to do what they don't want to do. That's the law. And we are governed by laws in this world. We're governed by laws in this country. We're governed by laws even in our church. We're governed by laws. Our body is governed by laws. Our body is governed by what is written in its DNA. And I love the law. The law is good. And I love it when I can keep it. I love that. I love it when I don't do wrong. I love it when I do right. but I can't say that I always do right. And I'm like Paul in Romans 7. So when I break the law, I consent that the law is good. So Moses gave the law, yes. Moses, great guy. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Moses didn't bring grace. Moses didn't bring the justification of grace. Moses brought the law down. And those Ten Commandments written in stone, God said, do this and live. Don't do it, you die. Jesus says, I'll do it. In fact, by now, he says, I've already done it. You can live. Man, I love that. Verse 18, no man hath seen God at any time, so don't believe all the heretics out there. Yes, I saw God. I saw God in a vision. I saw God in a dream. Don't believe them. God wouldn't even let Moses. And I believe that it was the person of Jesus Christ that he was seeing in Exodus 33. But not even Moses could see the face of God. Would kill him. And God knew it. No man has seen God at any time. And God reminded Israel of that over and over again. Why are you carving a statue saying that it's me? What did Aaron do? And this is, I can't remember if I put it in this week's Watchman broadcast or I have it in my notes ready for next week's Watchman broadcast, barring any unforeseen circumstances that would keep me from recording it. But it's in my notes somewhere about that golden calf. And they said, Aaron said, these be thy gods which had brought thee out of the land of Egypt. He lied through his teeth. It wasn't that calf. And it certainly wasn't the gods, plural. It was God. But God reminded Israel over and over. That day, you know, remember at Mount Sinai when, you know, I was up there on the mountain and I was talking and you said, Moses, tell God quit talking to us because we can't bear that. God said, you didn't see my face. So don't carve out a God and say that that's me. Because I'm telling you right now, it ain't. I'm telling you right now, that don't care what anybody says, that is not me. You have over 1 billion Roman Catholic people or people who claim to be Roman Catholic in this world who bow before an image and call it God. And God said, it's not me. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. So Jesus is the only image allowed of God. Jesus is. The Word is. The only image allowed of God himself is the Word, Jesus Christ, and this Bible, period. That's it. We're not to carve him out, portray him. We don't know what he looks like. Verse 19, and this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. Again, golden opportunity for John the Baptist to cash in on this. I mean, he could have told and probably convinced some of them, hey, I'm the Messiah. Because, like I said, there had been people that come before John claiming to be the Messiah, and Jews followed him. Many that came after Jesus. This was brought up at the trial of, I think it was Peter and John. And the guy's saying, you know, remember the guy that came, said he was the Messiah a few years? Yeah, you remember that guy? And when he died, that they all fell away, right? That religion is not around anymore, right? Okay, what's your point? Well, if this Jesus is not the Messiah, let these guys go. Yeah, they're going to stir up a few followers, probably make a few bucks. Don't worry about it. But if he really is the Messiah, they ain't one of us can stand against him. And we're all in bad shape. So John had this opportunity. And again, you got preachers all over the world taking advantage. And the ultimate form of that is going to be what was said in Matthew 24. Many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Now, my personal belief on that is these angels are coming down from heaven, the gods, the devils, angels, aliens, coming down here all saying, I am Christ. And they will deceive many. They're already doing it. Man, you know, getting into this, kind of changing the watchman from dealing with the aliens to dealing with gods of gold. It's giving me a little bit of time away from the UFO study. I haven't given it all up because I'm going to get back into it, because I've got to deal with the tall whites, the Nordics, they call them, and some other things. But I'm telling you, I've seen enough of these UFO people to know, I know how they think. And I'm telling you, when the invasion takes place, they're going to fall on their face before these aliens as the saviors of the earth. They are already sounding, they're already like, you have people like Stephen Greer, who is like the John the Baptist of the aliens. He's preparing the way of the coming of the aliens. Telling everybody, I've met, when Stephen Greer was in college, he started getting visitations from these familiar spirits, is what they are. And he's been convinced, because he said they healed him and they kept him from dying. And he is convinced that these are going to be the saviors of mankind. And I'm telling you, that stuff is coming. Anyway, back to John chapter 1. Verse 20, and he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Then they said unto him, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Esaias. Guess what chapter Isaiah said that in? Isaiah 40, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished and that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. Comfort ye, comfort ye. That's her receiving of the Lord's hand. What's in the Lord's hand? A book. And see, Israel is received of the Lord's hand single. That's the Old Testament. Now she's going to receive it of the Lord's hand double. That's the Old and the New Testament. That's comfort ye, comfort ye. The word comfort, 66 times in the King James Bible. The voice of him, verse 3, that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hills. And in my mind, I'm hearing Handel's Messiah, because I love Handel's Messiah, because it uses Isaiah 40. Every valley, don't ask me to do the rest of it. And every mountain and hill should be made low, the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The boy said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. It's like trying to nail down who Adam is. Well, you take the DNA of every single human being currently on the earth right now and distill it all out to what makes every individual human being unique, and that's who Adam is. Over 7 billion people on this planet right now, and it's growing even as we speak. And yet Adam's DNA still exists in every single one of us. And yes, all flesh is as grass, and it all flesh dies, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Now back to John. So verse 23, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. That's Isaiah 40. In verse 24, and they which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water. And you know what I was thinking last night? So do I. So, you know, in a sense, and I'm not saying I'm Elijah. Don't do that. Don't even. No. But I baptize with water. And everything that I preach, I'm preparing people for the coming of the Lord. Whether it's the Lord appearing in the clouds and the dead in Christ shall rise first, or your death and you're going to meet Jesus. All of us preachers, in that sense, we baptize with water and we prepare the way of the Lord. So in a little sense, I am, and all of us preachers are like John the Baptist. We cannot baptize with the Spirit. You understand that, don't you? You understand that I can't just blow on you like Benny Hinn thinks he can, or wave his coat at you and you get full of the Holy Ghost. That is so stupid. I can't get John, not even John the Baptist could baptize him with the Holy Ghost. Only Jesus can do that. That's what he said. Verse 26, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. He it is who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. I'm not even worthy to bend down and unlatch his sandals. I'm not worthy to even come near him. And I'm saying that of me. I love you guys. I love you guys. I love giving out God's word. And I love the appreciation, the thanks. I love the letters, the cards, the emails. Please forgive me for not answering everything that gets sent to me. Please forgive me for that. It has been years since I've been able to answer all the emails. I mean, so please forgive me. But it's better that I spend my time laboring in the Word for you. If I get a chance to answer an email or two every now and then so be it. But here's what I'm saying. I'm nothing compared to Jesus. And I know that goes without saying, but I'm just saying it. John wasn't. I'm not. Paul wasn't. None of us are worthy of him. So verse 28, these things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. You don't know how bad, I think you do, how bad we want God to take away all this sin. Oh, God, take it away. Take it all away. But the Lamb of God, He taketh away the sin of the world. This is He of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And again, John is reiterating this doctrine of the eternality of Jesus Christ. He always was, is, and shall be. He was not created. He did not become Christ at His baptism. He always was, is, and shall be the Lord Jesus Christ. And I knew, verse 31, and I knew Him not, but that He should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. Verse 32, and John bare record, there it is again, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon Him. The Spirit, like a dove. That explains all of those verses in the Old Testament, especially, where you see God talking about abiding under the covert of His wings. God has wings? Well, we believe God the Father, yes. We believe God the Son, yes. We believe God the Holy Spirit, who I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon Him. And that is, you know, Isaiah 11, the Spirit of God rest, the Spirit of the Lord resting upon Him. Isaiah 11, John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon Him. Verse 33, and I knew Him not, but He that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on Him, the same is He which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And people, I'm telling you, don't believe the Benny Hinns and the Kenny Copelands and all the other false prophets out there who tell you that they have the ability to impart to you the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. They are lying out there, very expensive dental work. They're lying. You don't believe me? Okay, Galatians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? How did you get the Spirit? The hearing of faith. That's how I got it. That's how I'm pretty sure everybody else in the world gets it. This is why John the Baptist, nor John the Apostle, nor John Smith, nor any other John in the world can give anybody no such thing as a Holy Ghost. Nobody can do that except Christ do that. You see, remember, we're born. Going back to that earlier verse, verse 13, we're born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. We're born of the Spirit. And our birth was God's idea, not nobody else's. I'll tell you this as well, all of you listening out there, whether you're listening here in America, or you're listening in India, or you're listening in Kenya. Are you listening to me out there in Kenya? where the Roman Catholic Church has a grip on you, telling you that you can't get nothing unless you get it through the Holy Catholic Church. They're lying through their teeth. They don't want you to know the truth. This is why they don't want you reading the Bible. And why they don't want you listening to Echo Yukon Radio in Turkana, Kenya, or Watchman Radio in Samburu, Kenya. They don't want you listening to me out there, but I'm here to tell you what this Bible says. This Bible will make you free. It's not the church that baptizes you in the Holy Ghost. It is the Word of God that baptizes you in the Holy Ghost. The same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. Verse 34, and I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Oh, I love that. That's the third time. Three bear records in John 1. This is the Son of God. And, just like the guy said, the son of a duck is a duck. So the Son of God is God. Amen. Again, the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. Lamb, capital L. Again, translators knowing what they're doing. They did that in verse 29. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And I believe, let me check this again, but Lamb, capital L, L-A-M-B, you can do a case-sensitive search 28 times. 28 times. That's 7 times. I love it. I love it. 7 times 4. That the word Lamb with capital L capitalized in the King James Bible. 7 for perfection, 4 for the gospel. Lamb. Capital L. And the two disciples, verse 37 of John 1 again, heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned. Now we're going to get the first words out of John 1 that Jesus himself speaks. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? 3 words. And they said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master. And Jesus said, Call no man your master, for there is one. And he also said, Call no man your father. So did you hear that? All of you out there where the Catholic Church doesn't want you to hear this? Jesus said to all the, number one, to all the Hebrew roots people, don't call your pastor rabbi. Jim Staley he hated the phrase Apostle Paul because it was a Greek Gentile term. He hated that. So he always referred to Paul as Rav Shaul, Rabbi Saul. See, Jim Staley and all these other Hebrew roots people like to unconvert Paul. They don't like to make him a Gentile apostle of Jesus Christ. They like to make him a Jewish master, a Jewish sage, a Jewish rabbi. And Jesus said, don't call him by rabbi. Paul never took that address. Never let anybody call him that. Anyway, they said unto him, Rabbi, which is saying, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. So the first 3 words, what seek ye? Come and see. Okay? Light. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And first findeth his own brother Simon. I talked about him earlier, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And see, there's another Hebrew root sacred name thing. They don't like the phrase Christ. They want you to think that you're calling some evil pagan god by saying the word Christ, Christos, which basically is the Greek word for the Hebrew word, and they both mean anointed, the anointed one. Whether it's Christ or Messiah, they both mean the exact same thing. And here you have evidence of 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most three, and let one interpret. And that's what you have here. Verse 41, he first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. You have the interpretation. You have God's interpretation of what the word Messiah means. It means Christ. So, I mean, think about this. You're going to have all these angels falling out of heaven. They're all going to say, we're the Messiahs, we're the Christs, or we have the Christ consciousness, or we have Christ in us, or we are Christ, or however they're going to do it. But they're going to do it, and people are going to fall for it. But both of them, Messiah or Christ, literally mean the anointed one. He is the one that God chose, the Son of God. Verse 42, and brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called, you can say Cephas or Kephas, which is by interpretation, a stone. Now, I want you to think about that. Because I said earlier, the body. The body of Christ's first coming was the one that was conceived inside Mary by the Holy Ghost. The one that was baptized. The one that died on the cross. The one that lay in the tomb for 3 days. The one that didn't corrupt during that time period. The one that rose from the dead. The one that preached afterward. The one that ascended into heaven. The body of his second coming is similar, but it's going to be different. In that, it's just as the body of his first coming was a real flesh and blood. And remember, we have to believe that Jesus came in the flesh. Meaning that he had skin, he had bones, he had blood, he had hair just like us. Okay, he had all of that stuff. And even though it looked like his body was whole, what we know, like ours, is that it's comprised of little tiny pieces. Cells. Skin is made of cells. Little tiny fragments. Little tiny stones. Your heart is made of cells. Your muscle tissues are made of cells. Blood made of cells. Brain made of cells. Bones made of cells. The marrow made of cells. Everything in your body. The body is a whole, and yet it is built up of individuals. You and I are those stones. So Peter said, 1 Peter 2, we then as lively stones do build up a spiritual house. And he means exactly what he says. It's got metaphor all over it. It's very beautiful metaphor, but it's also literal in what it says. You and I, as the believers of Jesus Christ, are the little stones each one of us. God is able of these stones to raise up children. That's what he did with us. Raised up children unto Abraham out of stones. We're just little handcrafted pieces that God made. And he made each one of us to be unique. But each one of us has a copy of the exact same DNA. Now, part of the DNA, remember, the Bible is, that when we say the Word of God, we don't just mean like one word out of the Bible is the Word of God. When we say the Word of God, we mean the whole of the Bible, all 66 books and every word in all 66 books. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word of God, every one of them. So, you and I, we all believe the same book. We made out of the same DNA. Now, I'm not trying to judge somebody's salvation. And remember, I used to be on the other side of this thing. God brought me out. God's still bringing people out. So don't let God do what God's going to do with people. You don't be their judge. That's not your place. But I'm telling you, there are some people that are just not our brothers and sisters. You know why? Their DNA is different. And even the people in Kenya knew that. When I preached DNA, they knew exactly what it was. These people know DNA? DNA, yeah, they know what DNA is. That's how they find out who the daddy is. Going, sounds like America. Sounds like us. Who's the daddy? Got to figure out the DNA. And the Bible term for that is seed. And there are only two types of people in this world. Tares and wheat. Good seed and bad seed. Corruptible seed, incorruptible seed. There's only two. And that's it. So each one of us made out of the same DNA. But just like in cell, when you were conceived in your mother's womb, when that light flashed, remember that? When that light flashed? And all of a sudden now, the 46 chromosome pairs, the 46 chromosomes paired together, 23 pairs, and in those packages, those 46 chromosomes, they call them chromosomes. Chromos means color. They called them that because they responded, you know, they responded to the dye that they used early on when people first started looking in microscopes. And they wanted to differentiate the different parts of the cell, so they were adding dyes. And they noticed that, get this, that the DNA lit up in the colors. Rainbow, get it? That's the glory of the Lord. Isn't that neat? Do you know in the 66th chapter of the Bible, Exodus 16, the glory of the Lord appears in the cloud? Somebody's, isn't it cool? And it's like the bow appearing in the cloud in the day of rain in Ezekiel 1. Anyway, stones. I was talking about stones. They call them chromosomes because they lit up with color because of the dye. Anyway, the 46 chromosome packages where all of our DNA is. On the day you were conceived, you was just one cell. And on day one of conception, everybody is exactly the same. That's why in the book of Acts, in the early days of the church, they had all things common. You see that. What you see in the book of Acts is the early days of the conception of a baby. Because on the day of Pentecost, on the conception day, everybody's the same. You got 3,000 people getting saved all the same day. And those early stages, they had all things common, and they were all in Jerusalem in one place, in one accord. But after, you know, the cell divides, now there's two cells, and they're identical. Those two cells divide. Now there's four, and they're identical. And then 8, 16, 32, 64, 128, 256, and so on. But at some point, cell differentiation takes place. And some of the cells, and I don't know if it'd be neat for me to learn the process of what happens, because I guarantee it's in the Bible somewhere. But at some point, some of the cells start taking on a different structure, a different appearance. And they start doing things differently than the other group of cells are doing. And so that these cells that are doing and appearing differently, they kind of have to be separate from the other cells that are doing this and doing this differently. You know, I used to be young, and I used to have these young man's ideas. Young man's ideas, you grow older and you get a little bit more wisdom in you. But as a young man, denominations are evil. No. No, they're not. We don't all see the same. We don't all see eye to eye. We don't all agree on every little iota and every little jot and tittle of the Bible. We don't all. I have great friends in the ministry that I just, some things that we just don't agree about. I don't care. I don't worry about that. Because God made them little stones like He made me a little stone. And He's put me doing what I'm doing. And He puts this guy, one of my friends in the ministry, doing what he's doing. And He's got people all over the world doing what they're doing. And people before me and people after me. And we're all Cephas. We're all little stones, which are all the body of the second coming of Jesus Christ. And it's going to be glorious body. Somebody say amen. I got to move on. Verse 43, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Can you imagine that? Just, you know, you're at Walmart one day and you're Philip and Jesus says, follow me. And you just leave everything and you follow this guy until the day he dies. And all of a sudden, you're one of the 12 apostles. Man. And Philip findeth Nathanael, and says unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith unto him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? How do you know me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. But we also know that before Abraham was, when Jesus is I am, he knows everybody. He knows everybody. Nathanael answered, said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered, I like it. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Because Jacob had a dream. And in that dream, a ladder was set up between heaven and earth. And on that ladder, the angels of God, and they're made out of fire, right? Flaming fire. Fire, that's their substance. That's what they're made of, flaming fire. Phosphorus. The angels of God ascending and descending on that ladder. And now we know who the ladder is that bridges heaven and earth. It's this DNA. It's the Word of God. Isn't that glorious? Isn't that just... Do you think about it? Even the DNA in our bodies. The reason why there are four base pairs. Well, I mean, technically, there really only needed to be two. Like with Morse code. Or with Braille. Dots and dashes on a line is how Braille is read. And a person using their finger determines the difference between a dot and a dash. And it's the same with Morse code. So technically, in order to encode DNA, you really only needed two bases. But there's four. And there's four because it's showing us the four Gospels where Jesus Christ, the Word, is the one that's connecting us down to your own earth with what was in heaven. Jesus has dwelt in both places. And He's the bridge, the ladder, between heaven and earth. Freemasonry has a symbol called the Masonic ladder. You can look this up. And in some renderings, there's three rungs on it. In some rendering, there's seven. And it's all occult. It is all occult. It is full of esoteric, satanic, evil works based, merit based. They say the Masonic ladder is the Mason's work that he does that merits his righteousness and gives him the right to wear the lambskin apron that covers his own nakedness. Just like Adam and Eve sewed to them fig leaves and made themselves aprons. Do you think about it? And God said, that's not sufficient. Okay? Jesus Christ. He's the one with the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. He's the DNA, the Word of God. He is the seed of God, the incorruptible. Oh, I love it! Now, did you count those words? 90. You said, okay, big deal. You know the phrase Holy Ghost in the King James Bible 90 times. And I want you to think about the number 9. What it would represent. Let's go to Genesis 9. Let's see if we can find a clue. I wonder what the first set of words are in the 9th chapter of the King James Bible. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful. So if you go to, sure enough, the 9th book of the New Testament, that would be Galatians, and you look, and there are 9 fruits of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, verse 22, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. 9 is the number for fruit-bearing. Holy Ghost, 90 times, King James Bible. 9 fruits of the Spirit in the 9th book of the New Testament. How old was Sarah? She was 90 years old You know what she is? She is the picture of the old body, but with the new man in her. And see, I told you that the number of words in John chapter 1 would match something that we actually find in John chapter 1. Because it has to do with our birth. Bearing fruit. Being born. That which is born of flesh is flesh, but that which is born of spirit is spirit. And whether it's the Holy Spirit, the phrase Holy Spirit is mentioned 7 times in the King James Bible, but the phrase Holy Ghost is 90 times in the King James Bible. 9 times 10 is the number for fruit bearing. So in John chapter 1, we go back to verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them which believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, which means no church saves you. Let me say that again. No church saves you, and no church membership guarantees salvation. You can memorize the catechism. You can be baptized as an infant. You can be baptized as an adult. You can take communion or mass thousands of times in your life. You can attend mass or church service any number of times. And innumerable. You can do it every day. You can be a monk and a nun and never leave church. And die and go to hell and not be born of God. No church saves you, and no church and no preacher tells you you're saved or you're not saved. Nobody on this earth has the power to do that. Only God does. And those whom God has saved, he tells them that he saved them. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody says, God told me I'm saved, is saved. Because some people they just like believing lies. They like to live in lies. They like to practice lies. They like to lie to people. They love to believe lies. And they love to live lies. And they're all about lies and being deceived and deceiving their own selves. And they don't believe what God said. But those who were born again are born of faith. See, truly, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. 90 words Jesus speaks, and that may not be like the biggest deal ever. Maybe you were waiting for some big, fantastic, humongous revelation that was going to change the face of Christianity throughout the world. No, it's just there's 90 words in John chapter 1 that Jesus spoke, but it's the order. It's the order of God in those 90 words. He's calling disciples. They're being born again, not by the will of the flesh or the will of man, but by the will of God himself, who sent the word of God into this world. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that God sent not just his son into this world? But then God left his word down here for us, intact, without spot, without blemish, without any corruption whatsoever. I've got some articles here. Let me see if I can put some of this up on the screen for you. That was. I'll put this AI article up here again. I am AI. That is just creepy to me. That just creeps me out. Because, I mean, we get it. We know what that is. That is the God that man is building right now. White House proposes regulatory principles to govern AI use. And I'll tell you this. AI use being used to track and monitor everything that everybody says and does. You know, I am a lot more I am more scrupulous now than I ever have been before in my life, because that denotes that I've changed everything about the way I text and write emails. But I'm starting to become that way. More scrupulous about what I say in text messages. You know why? Again, there's not enough men working in the CIA and the NSA combined to monitor the over 300 million Americans and what they're saying in their emails and chats and text messages. There's not enough people in the government to be looking at everybody's email, right? So it's not somebody at an NSA or government hut somewhere that I'm worried about finding out what I said to my wife. It's AI. Because while I know there's not enough men, women working in government to care about how many times I say I love you to my wife in a text message, I know that there is a database of every text message I've ever sent in my life is there. And AI has the ability, or will have the ability, to read every one of them and know exactly what I said and understand what I said. That's where it's getting scary. Now, see, we're creating a God, and remember, I've been telling you at some point we're going to have to start pulling back from the technology. Remember, I've been telling you that? I'm starting to get that way now. Pulling back away from not saying things in text messages or emails or in phone calls or whatever. But for that matter, where do we go where we can't be listened to? And then, here's a good one for you. I'll put that up on the screen. The humble office ID badge is about to be unrecognizable. Plastic cards may soon give way to biometric systems, microchip implants, gait recognition. You know what that means? They know how you walk. A computer linked to a camera can see you walking and say, yeah, that's Mike. That's how he walks. Gait recognition, other technologies that aim to improve security, generate health data, and monitor workers. Monitor workers. So that, and we know what this is, right? So that no man might buy or sell. Buy or sell, I would include to mean where we work and how we get paid for that work. And at some point, I mean, we're all carrying around plastic cards. with our bank information on it or our identification on it or whatever, at some point it's going to get serious. And remember what I just said. In fact, let's do this. Let's pull up Matthew 13 and let's look at the two types of people in this world. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? So there's two types of people in this world, recognizable by their DNA. Tares do not produce wheat, and wheat does not produce tares. And we are very quickly emerging into a world where the plastic card, the humble office ID badge, is about to be unrecognizable. So that humble ID badge is starting to be replaced by biometric identification systems, microchip implants, and tools that monitor workers' gaits or typing habits. You say, I'll never get a chip. And they'll probably say to you, we don't need it. You know, I'm amazed at the number. I like to watch live PD, and I'm like, how many people drive around and don't have a driver's license? Good grief! I thought you had to have a driver's license. Well, you do. But now you see these cops pull these people over. Sir, do you have your driver's license and your insurance? No, I don't have those. Well, give me your name. We'll look you up on the computer. And they look them up on the computer in the squad car and instantly pull up their face. Oh, you don't have your ID? Fine, we don't need it. I saw it to you on my computer screen. We don't need it. And again, you know, I don't like implantable biochips the same as anybody else. But I'm getting to the point to where I'm thinking the chip is not it. There will be a way that they will recognize everybody. And I promise you, thus saith the Lord, it's going to be based upon DNA. It's either you're either wheat or you are tares, one or the other. You're either the moon or you're the earth, one of the two. Here we go. Gigantic triangular UFO spotted above Texas days after New York sighting. Now I'm not going to put that on the screen. I'm running out of time, but I've noticed, and some of you have noticed it too, an increase in the number of stories about UFOs, unidentified flying objects. There's a huge object slowly moved across the nighttime sky on New Year's Day, and it bears a startling similarity to a so-called UFO seen above the U.S. state of New York just days before. It was seen down in Texas and then seen in New York. and mysterious triangle-shaped object appeared over the Texas skies. Now, what is that? Is it an alien ship? Hang on a second. I got one more thing here. Well, let me read this while I'm going through my papers here. The Computer Electronics Show, big thing. Every year, I think it's in Las Vegas. CES. What am I trying to think of? Consumer Electronics Show. Is Gadget City, man. I'm telling you. And the theme this year at CES, surveillance. Cameras everywhere with AI linked. People don't get a Nest. Oh, I'm sorry. You already have one. Okay. Well, whatever. I don't want you to live in fear. I really don't. But whether you purposely go out and get cameras and put them around your place or not, there's ways of tracking people. And like we just saw, gate identification. Bless God, I'm not getting no biochip put in me. That's the mark of the beast. Great. They'll look at you and say, we don't need it. You don't have a chip, fine. We know who you are. Now, I don't know exactly this mark of the beast. Revelation 13, he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, so that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Now, I do not know. I cannot sit here and tell you right now what this exactly is going to be. But I assure you, as sure as, let's see here, as sure as, that music is playing, that they're going to know who you are. And my question is, who is on the Lord's side?